Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Joey Pyburn, Rob Ensley coming at us from Craig, Alaska, just south of Port Protection today. And somewhere east of the mountains, I'm sure he's going to tell us where, our eastern Washington correspondent, the outdoor insider, the fishing magician, former commissioner of WDFW, Dave Graybill, joining us this morning. Good morning, Commish. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dave. How you doing, man?
Morning,
hey,
Dave.
Guys, great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's
been a while,
my friend.
Are you out on the water right now? Are you in the office or are you out on the water right now? What are you doing, buddy?
Well, my office is the water. You know that.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. I'm just putting the finishing touches on a brand new smoker craft from my pop file boats and just putting calibrating downriggers and rod holders and getting everything in shape. But I have been, you know, there's real exciting things happening, of course. Over here, not only opening day coming up, you know, the general trout season, but the walleye are now off the spawn down our big reservoirs. And I just had a spectacular day on Banks Lake recently. Not a lot of fish, but boy, they were big. And so the walleye fishing is poised to really take off. It's going to be a terrific year, I really feel, for walleye. But I know most of your listeners are probably interested in where they should be going and, you know, planning their trips for the big weekend coming up at the end of the month here. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, during even these challenging times, the department's been able to get out and plan all of the lakes. And so we're going to have a great opener, and we've had some super good spring weather over here, too. So it should be a wonderful opening weekend this year.
So what lakes would you send people to? I mean, we hate to drive people to certain lakes, but I know Conconelli always gets pretty busy over there on the other side of the mountains, and Jameson and some others on the other side. You got some particular lakes that you prefer to go try to tackle some of these trout, buddy?
Well, you know, you mentioned a couple of really good ones, the Conconelli Lakes, and I like to send people there on busy weekends, holiday weekends, because, you know, there's a state park there, there's three or four resorts, so there's a lot of ways to handle big crowds there in that little town of Conconelli. And Jameson, by the way, you know, it got hit by that fire last summer. But they're up and running like at Jack's Resort. They have some limited services, but the RV park's open. And so Jameson should be particularly good because they didn't get a lot of pressure last year due to the fires and things like that. So it's going to be a real good one for opening weekend. Also, in Grant County, north of Soap Lake, our park in Blue Lakes, and they are always very good on the opening weekend. But people should know that the resort on Blue Lake, down at the bottom end of the lake, is closed. And so there's going to be a lot of people looking for places to pitch their tent or park their RV. And there is a state park and quite a few. And they can handle a lot of people at Park Lake. So I would focus on that up in that area. Mm-hmm. Spectacle Lake, if we go way up north then, the Spectacle Lake has been outstanding the last few years. And that's up in the Tenasket area. And then north of there is Palmer Lake. And I've got a great report from Palmer that's producing kokanee this year of 15 to 16 inches. So that's going to be a good one.
Outstanding. Now, if you're going to target trout on the opener this weekend, what are you going to do, man? Are you a troller? Are you going to drift power bait? How's Dave Graybill catching these trout?
Well, you know, the vast majority of people are going to be fishing from shore, and they are going to be just fishing power bait and marshmallows and worms and that sort of thing. And I always remind anglers that, you know, I'll go out on opening weekend many times and I'll visit with people. And they're not, a great number of them are not using a sliding sinker rig, you know, where you put an egg sinker on your main line, tie on a swivel, and then add about 3 to 4 feet of leader, tie on a hook, and then you can add your power bait, marshmallow and worm combo, marshmallow and egg, you know, whatever your favorite is. But people need to realize that they also need to have enough marshmallow to float the bait up off the bottom. And I like that slip sinker rig is very effective because when the trout swims by, grabs that bait, it's not feeling that weight. Leave a little slack in the line, and you'll see your line take off, and the fish will not feel that the weight and not drop the bait. Very effective way to fish from shore.
You know, it's hard to beat power bait. I mean, day in, day out, you know, in a variety of lakes, it just always seems to work well. Do you ever mess around with flies a little bit on opening day? We've had a nice stretch of weather. The water's warm. These trout, warmer than I think it was this time last year. And Dave, we'd have some hatches coming off as well. Are you much of a fly angler when it comes to these stalker trout?
You know, I love to fly fish, actually. And one of the things that I recommend for people to try too, if again, because the vast majority of people are shorebound, is to get a casting bubble. You know what those are, guys?
You bet. The clear floats.
Those little teardrop shaped floats. And add about, again, maybe 4 or 5 feet of mono behind that. Tie on a fly like a black woolly bugger and cast and retrieve that. And oh my goodness, that's just a tremendous way to catch fish from shore.
That's a lot of fun. We're talking with Dave Graybill, the fishing magician, this morning here at 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Take us through, Dave. You know, we've about worn out April here. Take us through May and June and into the early part of July in eastern Washington. What does your angling itinerary look like for the next 3 months coming up, buddy?
Well, you know, one of the things that, as I mentioned at the get-go here, I'm going to be focusing on walleye and smallmouth bass fishing over here. It is just tremendous in May. These are pre-spawn fish, and so your opportunity to catch some really big ones is very good. And when I was on banks just a couple of days ago, fishing is tough. We fished three different areas that are our favorites, my buddy and I. And we got a couple of hits, but we did not land anything. And then all of a sudden, we got three fish in a row that were a 20, a 23, and a 25-inch walleye.
Jeez, and that's those are tankers.
Saved the day. Oh, yeah, that's tremendous. So in all of these lakes right now are coming out of their the spawn has pretty much ended or is almost to end on most of these big reservoirs, Pavel's Reservoir, Banks Lake, Moses Lake, too, should be tremendous this year. And that upper end of Moses Lake is just a big, shallow flat. And those fish will be scattered all over that flat. And it can be a tremendous time to catch walleye in Moses Lake into June. And also the smallmouth bass fishing on and largemouth bass fishing on Moses Lake is spectacular. Another one that I'll be going focusing on is kokanee on Lake Chelan. You know, we can catch kokanee year-round on Lake Chelan. But when we get into this area of May and June, they're down in the lower basin, and it's really easy. And you know, we're not running all the way up to Mitchell Creek or 25 Mile Creek. We can launch in the state park and head down lake, or launch at Mill Bay and head straight out. And, I hope to get out there Monday and find out just how far down the lake those kokanee are. Another one that I would mention that's going to be an excellent lake this year for both trout and kokanee is Deep Lake, which is just above Park Lake in Grant County. It's going to be just loaded with kokanee and rainbow, and people should have an excellent time fishing there. There's limited parking there, but there is a dock with a ramp. It's a beautiful little lake in one of these, you know, beautiful basalt coulees, these narrow, high basalt cliffs. And it's a spectacular place to fish, and it should be really, really good this year.
Well, Joey and I got to roll through there too, and you know, this late, you know, last winter and whatnot. And it is. It's like a mini Utah.
Yeah, we drove right by all those lakes, and it's beautiful there. Yeah. What a great place to spend a weekend and catch a bunch of trout and catch some kokanee.
You can follow Dave Grable's exploits on the website fishingmagician.com. Dave, thank you very much for your time. Good luck out there, and please keep in touch, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, guys. It's great to talk to you again.
We'll talk to you soon,
buddy.
Go get
him. Have a great weekend, man.
Coming up next, the critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report, brought to you by American Pacific Mortgage, right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as the Sportsman Sports Center, is brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
Today's the Lowland Lake Trout Opener in Washington. It happens to be the single biggest opener in the state. The Trout Opener usually attracts around 250,000 anglers to lakes around Washington. And with the influx of folks into the outdoors this past year, WDFW thinks that number could surge even higher this weekend. They've been busy planting trout in hundreds of lakes around the state ahead of the opener. Statewide Trout Derby also kicks off today and runs through October 31st. Just over 100 lakes have been planted with tagged trout. Catch a tagged trout, call the number on the tag, and claim your Derby prize. Participating businesses have donated roughly $38,000 in prizes for the Derby this year.
Halibut coming out of the East Straits. Our friend Kevin John at Holiday Sports in Berlin said some halibut came out of the Straits on the Thursday opener. Some halibut came off hind, middle, salmon, and coyote bank, and the biggest fish he heard of was a whopping 90-pounder that was caught on salmon bank. Large herring or squid was a bait of choice. Most people are anchoring in 125 to 150 feet of water. Kevin heard reports of some dogfish starting to move in. Folks may want to pack along some extra bait if they plan on heading out on the for halibut and on one of the upcoming openers.
Bob Anspaugh at Swain Sporting Goods in Port Angeles got reports of halibut being caught both shallow and deep on the opener this week. He said he got reports of folks anchoring shallow and catching a few halibut, and folks drifting deep for them also, 250 to 300 feet of water at 31-36, and Rockpile produced a few fish for anglers out of Port Angeles on the opener, including a 60-pounder. Bob said the hottest setup was a combination of bait and a big hoochie. He said Swain's has a full stock of bait in the store, including herring, squid, octopus, tuna bellies, and mackerel for halibut fishing.
Anglers are eagerly awaiting the opening of lingcod season in Puget Sound on May 1st, which is just a week away. Nick Hess from All Star Charters likes to fish live bait for lingcod and will stop along the way to catch sand dabs and bullhead before heading to Possession Bar in search of lings. Possession, one of the top lingcod producers in Puget Sound, and Nick drifts live bait on mooching rigs across the shallowest parts of the bar to get his guests into lingcod. San Juan Islands and the Narrows near Tacoma are also popular lingcod destinations. The season runs from May 1st through June 15th in Puget Sound. A lingcod need to be between 26 and 36 inches to keep.
Shrimping dates on the docket. The shrimping opener in Puget Sound has been set for May 19th, and select marine areas of May 19th opening date offers favorable tides, and shellfish managers are hoping that the midweek opener will keep marine areas within their quotas. Last spring, participation was off the charts on the shrimp opener, and some areas went beyond their quota with just a single day of prawn fishing. Some areas, like Hood Canal and San Juan Islands, for instance, will get additional openings after May 19th. Check WDFW regs for more information about the upcoming Puget Sound shrimp seasons.
Guide Shelby Ross from Ross Outdoors Adventures says the walleye bite has officially taken off on Potholes Reservoir. Shelby said the bite has been going really well the past few days, and he expects it to stay hot as the walleye come out of spawning. He said the mouth of the coolies is the place to be right now, and the fish have been hitting night crawlers on a slow death hook. The bite has also picked up on Moses Lake, and Shelby says the fish are hitting night crawlers on Moses as well. Shelby said Moses Lake is at full pool, and that has a lot of small debris in the water, making it difficult to troll crankbaits. If you're headed over to either one of these lakes, be sure to load up on night crawlers or know where to buy some. Night crawlers are definitely the ticket, says the guy who sells night crawlers.
WDFW just released some hunting statistics that aren't surprising. Last year, an additional 10,000 hunters hit the woods in Washington, and deer harvest last year was the highest since 2016. That's probably a combination of more hunters in the woods, increasing deer numbers around the state, and the fact that the general rifle season ran later in October when mule deer are more likely to migrate. Same scenario has been playing out across the country with the pandemic driving people to outdoor pursuits like hunting, fishing, camping, and boating.
Idaho approves plan to remove 90% of wolves in the state. Idaho Senate just approved a plan to remove up to 90% of the wolves in Idaho. The original wolf conservation plan for Idaho, set in 2002, called for 150 wolves in 15 packs. The current population is estimated at 1,500, and the plan called removal of the wolves to get the population down to the original population mark or goal. Private contractors will conduct the work of removing the wolves in Idaho.
It's been brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
That's pretty aggressive action taken by the state of Idaho. But, you know, you talk to some of the folks, you know, back there in a few of the units, you know, the Lolo unit comes to mind, where those wolves have just, they've been
North Idaho.
Sport killing elk. Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. And look, there's a place for wolves. I want wolves. But it's gotten out of control, and I've been hiking up the side of a mountain in Idaho, and I come across a calf, dead calf, hind end chewed on, but no meat taken. A little bit further, another dead calf. A little further, a dead cow. And those wolves, you know, there's so many of them, they're just running around killing elk, and they're not even eating them. So we got to get that under control and get our elk populations back up in Idaho.
Well, yeah, I mean, not to mention the livestock and the ranchers. I mean, they're the ones really, they're trying to make a living, and livestock are taking a hit. But yeah, very interesting. When I saw that yesterday, I was like, this got to be fake news. I had to dig around, like, I got to confirm this. So I searched a couple of different news sites and the AP and stuff. I was like, I'll be damned, this is really happening.
You and I were kind of grumpy with Idaho because they kind of took away some of our opportunity to go over there and hunt. So I actually was boycotting Idaho. I'd boycott. Sure. And then I texted you yesterday. I said, I'm back in with Idaho. Idaho's got me back.
So this past weekend, a week ago today, we jumped out of here, ran straight to the Port of Everett, jumped in the boat, ran the boat to CQ. Joey, you drove there, and our next guest drove there as well. Two-time Super Bowl champ, all-around good guy, and, our aquatic etiquette authority.
Yes.
Kevin Gogan joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Well, it's never a dull time to have this next guy in our wheelhouse. My old buddy, two-time Super Bowl champ, NFL All-Pro, an all-around good guy that would never punch anybody in the junk in the Pro Bowl and get kicked out of the Pro Bowl. That would never happen. Kevin Gogan, University of Washington legend, and, of course, former Dallas Cowboy, former 49er, Dolphin, Charger. Am I missing something? Oh, Raider. You were a Raider, too.
Morning, Kevin. How you doing, man?
Morning, buddy.
What is up, boys? This is your...
Well, I talked to you the other day, Kevin. You spent some time out at CQ with the boys here last week. And when I talked to you the other day, you said you had actually fired Nelly as the pilot of the boat and rehired Joey in his place. Tell me what went on in the boat there. Was it all peaches and cream, or was there some stormy seas out there, buddy?
There was a lot of tension on that boat, let me tell you right now. You know, Nelly gave up the helm to Joey, but once Joey got on the helm, man, we started whipping him up real good. I don't know what happened to Tom. It was it was new territory for Tom. He was so excited to go around the point of Washington. I'm not even.
That's it.
You see, I'm messing around. He said like six times the night before we were sitting. Oh man, the most beautiful place. I know you've been there, Rob. Just sitting there on the ocean, and Nelly was saying, I've never been around that point. I've never been around that point. I'm going to go around that point tomorrow. And it was like,
I'm going around that corner.
And once I did, I was done. That was it.
He was so excited, too. He went to bed at like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that's the thing about Nelly. He goes to bed early, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nothing new. But, we did get rewarded. It was the rocks out there were super cool. That lighthouse and then the I've always wanted to catch a lingcod that had blue meat, and I actually checked that off too.
Oh, cool. Did it taste any different? I get a lot of questions about that. Did it taste any different to you than just a regular lingcod, or about the same?
I'll let you know tomorrow, but I'm having it tonight. I've already ate a little bit, but I didn't eat that one yet. I'm kind of saving that till the kids come over.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, you and I were exchanging notes a little bit ago, and I think I mentioned something about being up in the Arctic or something, and you shot me some pictures of a little tiny raft, a little inflatable, that you have been all over Alaska in, dude. I mean, all these tiny little towns up across the Arctic, you've been all over the place up here. Tell some of our listeners what in the heck, first of all, what kind of raft would hold a mountain of a man like you, and then where have you been up here, man? Because you've floated a lot of these little creeks up here that I don't think anybody's ever heard of.
No, there's no doubt, and let me make it clear that I am not the leader of this deranged group. We have a friend of mine in Fall City here. He sets up these trips, and kind of our motto is, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. And we travel all over Alaska. I've been to, like, way up north to the Hula Hula. I've been way out to the Aniancheck and landed inside of a volcano on a lake. This year we're going to go back to the Outback, which is it's a pretty gnarly trip. They do about 9 days into it, they come and do a helicopter portage and take you over this place called Turnback Canyon and drop you on the other side. And then we're also going to the Chilicandrotna this year, which is basically we're going to start at where that guy on the PBS show made that cabin on those twin lakes there in Alaska, and float that for about 140 miles from there.
Wow.
And what holds my extra large frame is
I use an extra large tall.
Yeah. I use an Air Outfitter 2 inflatable kayak. Those things, everybody else in the group uses a Lynx 2, which is a two-man, but we only use it as one, and we carry gear on it. But I use an Outfitter 2 because I have an extra tire or two to carry. And they really are killer. They're made out of Idaho. I mean, you see the rafts all the time. But those inflatable kayaks are less than 50 pounds, so there's no extra charge. And you get 50 pounds of your personal gear, and then you have to carry 50 pounds of group gear. And I've never kayaked in my life. I look like an idiot sitting on top of that thing. But it has been some of the greatest trips of my life. There's nobody out there. I've done some things. I've caught sheafish on the Kobuk River, and I believe they're only in five rivers in the world, and three of them are in Alaska, and they're like the tarpon of the north. And we happened upon these things, and it was unbelievable. 25 to 35 pounds apiece. Look them up. They're, Tom knows, obviously Tom knows a lot more about them than I do, but they tail walk across the river in the middle of Alaska, man. It's unbelievable. It's the coolest thing I've ever been to.
I want to say they're the fastest swimming freshwater fish, and they're just absolutely insane. So we're talking with former NFL all pro Kevin Gogan, our old friend here. You are actually going to visit the cabin site of where we're alone in the wilderness from of where Dick Pronicky actually built that cabin. Is that Twin Lakes? Yeah. Is that that's where this year's trip is, or your kayak trip?
Yeah, that's where we're going to start at. We're going to start at that Twin Lakes and then head down the river from there. But, I believe we're going to go to the Iliama Lodge and then work from our way down from there. But, yes, we're definitely going to see the cabin and take – I'm kind of interested. I've watched those shows before. And and I really do I kind of want to see it, man. I think that guy has some incredible talent. A lot of loneliness, but an incredible talent.
Now, did you grow up fishing? I know your brother's a guide down in California, your brother Liam. Did you grow up fishing down there, or was this kind of something you took up later in life, buddy?
Well, you know, we fished for bluegill and stuff as a kid. My mom actually used to take us fishing quite a bit, Lake Berryessa. Meeting Tom in college and I'm still not so sure how Tom got a degree as much as he fished. But he, I really got, hooked into it when we used to go down on the Skagit River, and Tom had a baby blue wood sled, that we used to go out there on. And, it didn't have a center console. It had a right console with a little flat steering wheel. You remember that thing, Nelly?
Side steer. The side steer. You betcha. Yeah.
This is 55 years of Nelly fishing strong. You know, he hasn't changed since I've known him. And, when you hang out with a guy like that, man, you just love fishing because he is on fish. I don't care what anybody says. That dude is on fish. And I keep on saying, wow, this boat's really fishy. Oh, this boat's really fishy.
This boat's really fishy.
And it's like, well, maybe it's my captain. He's pretty fishy.
Well, I tell you awesome. What, dude, it was awesome to get you out at CQ. We did have a first in our fishing career, though. Maybe it wasn't the first. I remember we had to tow somebody in from Tulalip Bay one time. Remember, you ran out of gas, got back in there, and we had both our sons with us. And we went back. I go, dude, this is going to take us some time, but it's good fishing. It's good karma to go tow somebody in. We went out and whacked a couple nice fish at Tulalip Bay, and then we were coming in on Sunday, and somebody flagged us down. We ended up having to put a line on them and pull them in from Nia Bay. Can you reflect a little bit on marine safety at this point now? And go ahead. The floor is yours.
Absolutely love to reflect on that. There was a banter back and forth that I had with this guy that we towed in. First of all, let me just say that you're a better person than me because I tried to unhook that dude so fast after he got that gas. But Nelson's like, no, dude, once we start towing him, I'm responsible for him all the way into the dock. And what really kind of ticked me off is, no gratitude. You know, you're out there in the middle of it's pretty, I will give him the fact that there was a lot of boats out there. It was Sunday. But the fact is where he was going and where we were on the water, I think you can argue that that's some of the roughest waters in the state of Washington, even though it was a pretty stellar day. That the lack of, checking your gas gauge on your boat and blaming it on electronics, he still thinks it's a joke. He's, sending me messages on the side, saying that, blaming everybody but himself. And, it's a shame because, I mean, I think people actually could get in a lot of danger out there, getting up in the morning and not going to get gas. And, I think that I don't think he's learned his lesson or not. And maybe when it wasn't his boat. I get that. It wasn't his boat, which is even more reason to put gas in it. But maybe when he, gets, saves enough pennies to get his own boat, that he'll make a different decision when he
Wait a minute, Kevin. Are we talking about Nelly? Wait a minute. Are we talking about Tom?
No, we're talking about the saltwater pimp is what we're talking about.
I know. I'm kidding.
Besides the fact that it's the worst. Yeah. Name in all of fishing. Seriously, I think he thinks it's a joke, but fishermen, they're not going to tell you how deep they're fishing. They're not going to tell you what they're, or they're going to tell you, but they're going to lie. Mm-hmm. But when it came to rendering aid, those guys are going to help you. And Nelly helped him, and a thank you would have been great. you know, we saw these guys at the dock. They're sitting there eating hamburgers. They didn't even walk over and have the common courtesy to tell Nelson thank you, and or offered, hey man, let me buy you a burger, let me buy you a beer, whatever it may be. Not even the common courtesy to walk over there and give a guy a high five and say, man, I owe you or whatever. You know how
so
it goes.
It's a learning opportunity. It's a learning opportunity for everybody, dude. You do not go around Cape Flattery unless you know you can't. It's just there's never excuse to run out of fuel. There just is not. And so when you do, you definitely got to own up to it. Kevin Gogan, all right, buddy. We will see you in just a couple short weeks, man. And Sitka, buddy, I can't wait. It's going to be an absolute gas. You're coming up with Scraffy and Shane and Jeff Palko. It's going to be another epic trip in Sitka, Alaska, my friend. I can't wait. And then you're probably going to have to sit in and co-host a show with me while you're up there too.
I'll hate that.
Well, all right, our listeners probably won't.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I'm in. I can't. It's all Huskies and one Grizzly. It's going to be interesting, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. That'll be a trip for sure, buddy. I can't wait. All right, my friend Kevin Gogan. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Appreciate you jumping on today.
See you guys later.
Thanks,
all right,
Gogan.
Brother, we'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed is RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really? Where?
Just coming back from the island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean turned red.
Hey man, can you tell me where you got them?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
If you haven't checked out the all new facility, 158-55 Smoky Point Boulevard in Marysville, you have not seen the state of the art facility for RVs, RV repair, service, and your home for Class A's, Class B's, Class C's, Class Super C motorhomes, travel trailers, fifth wheelers, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, and so much more. Roy Robinson Chevy, RoyRobinsonRV.com.
Trout opener this weekend. You guys getting pictures yet on your phones? Anybody catching trout? I got a couple pictures here recently of some folks stroking some trout. Link Cod's a week out. Next Saturday is a Link Cod opener in Puget Sound. There'll be a lot of folks out. Also, today's kind of the last day of this three-day opener in the Eastern Strait. Just heard from Ryan Haynes up at the Shrimp Shack. He drove by the Cornette Bay boat launch. Said there was about 20 cars deep getting to the boat launch. There are a lot of folks heading out for Albert, which is super cool, into the Eastern Strait. I'm sure all those banks are littered with people fishing for halibut out there. Walleye on the east side. We just heard from Dave Graybill, who was on Banks Lake, got into some nice big female walleye there. But I talked to Shelby Ross on Potholes Reservoir yesterday from Ross Fishing Adventures, and they were limited out by about 11 o'clock with four limits. And he said most of the week has been that way. Those walleye are coming out of the spawn right now, and they are hungry. They've been busy up in the creek channels doing their thing up in the coulees, especially on potholes, and now they're getting after it on the lake, and that's going to go good. The next month or so, it's going to be really good, even more, maybe 6 weeks over there on the east side. But really on the west side, the main thing right now is the trout opener this weekend. A lot of folks out. I've already gotten a couple of pictures here this morning of folks catching some nice trout, so super cool.
Oh, you got to like that, no question about it. And the sad thing about opening day is, you know, I mean, it used to be on a Sunday, and people would go hit that on a Sunday, and then they wouldn't ever go back to the lake. At least now you're giving folks, you know, a full weekend by having these Saturday openers. But, you know, the weather's going to get nice again, and all those stocker trout are going to be in those lakes. Opening day is just not a one-day event. People need to keep on, you know, going back to these lakes. I mean, it's a great opportunity, and just a whole lot of water opened up today.
And I know a lot of guys were kind of waiting for this halibut opener to see were there fish out there?
Right.
Are there fish?
Right.
So this next set of openers that we have is going to be busy. All those guys who are, you know, like me, I was just kind of sitting back like, I don't know if I want to go out there. I want to catch a fish if I go out there. So this gets me kind of fired up to go out there. You know, guys, it only takes one or two of those fish, and you got enough fish for the whole year.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, and that halibut, fresh halibut. Oh my goodness, dude.
Oh yeah, nothing better than that. Nothing better. So, we just had some last week. The neighbor brought some over. They went out and got some nice. Oh man, so good, right out of the ocean.
Yeah,
unbelievable. We just had a text here from the 360. How's the bass fishing in the Puget Sound area? It is really good right now. You just had that spate of warm weather down there. The bass are going smallmouth and largemouth. Could simmer down a little bit with that cold air moving in down there, but definitely it's going on both sides of the state right now. Also, I mentioned earlier in the show, salmon for soldiers. If you're a veteran or a boater that wants to get involved, the annual event is on this year. It's scheduled for August 21st out of the Port of Everett. Definitely, if you're a boater interested in taking some veterans out fishing, they're doing boater registration right now, and they need a bunch of boats for the event. Get a hold of salmonforsoldiers@gmail.com. Send in your information. They'll get your registration form, and they're looking for qualified captains to take veterans out for that event. Really looking forward to that.
Wait,
of course, I won't be there, but you guys will be there. So.
Not the Instagram tag. That is my favorite single Instagram site. Qualified Captain on that.
Oh, you want to see some serious shenanigans, go watch some of those clips.
We watch that all the time with the kid. We watch the Qualified Captain, and there's another one called Jerry of the Day. And it's a skiing one. Oh, my gosh, it's hilarious. Just skiing fails. And then the Qualified Captain, of course, are boating fails on Instagram. Just hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Epic fails. Like,
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah.
I watched one the other day, a guy pulling out what looked like a 40-foot boat with a Toyota 4Runner.
Yeah.
And they're, like, having to go sideways in the boat doesn't even fit on the trailer. It's a total train wreck.
Oh, there was day, a guy backing his boat into the water, and he gets out to unhook the boat and leaves the car in reverse, and the whole thing just takes
the whole
off
thing goes.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of those on
going
there.
Going on about that, but lots going on. Springtime in the Pacific Northwest. There's so much to do right now. Fishing-wise, I mean, it's just going bonkers. Of course, and you still got turkey hunting up in eastern Washington there. I'm sure that's going great as well. And a lot of the folks will focus on fishing right now, too. If you haven't got a turkey yet, be a good time to backdoor some of that stuff and get over there when the woods might be a little quieter. So,
yeah, I speaking of hunting, I checked in with Boardman yesterday, and I was just talking about, how they're doing as far as stock inventory. And he said the same thing. He was like, boy, it's tough. He said, right now, people, if they're ordering stuff, it may take a month or two to get it. So keep that in mind, guys. If you need a new rangefinder, a new scope, new set of binoculars or a spotting scope, might want to go get out there and find it now. Don't wait till closer to the hunting season, because stuff's going to not be there.
And don't mull it over for too long. If you think you need it, you get it right now. If you see it somewhere, just buy it. Don't wait to get it for $10 less or $20 less, because it ain't going to happen. You just got to get what's available right now. I hate to say that, but it's honestly the truth. I know guys that are ordering outboards right now for next year, for their charter boats up here and whatnot. So,
I
mentioned this earlier in the show, but definitely get on it.
Yeah, I had ordered a new tripod from Vortex. And we have a direct line to Vortex, it's been two and a half months, and he just now has it and is going to ship it.
Yeah. So. Also, working with Browning, the new 6.8 Western, we could start seeing some of those on shelves here, in the next few weeks. Sounds like they just had a production run come off, and hopefully we'll start seeing some of that. I know some of the ammo hit, some stores in Western Washington here recently, and we've got one of them rigged up. We'll have that on our bear hunt next month. I'm really looking forward to shooting that thing. I'm going to take it to the range here in Craig next week and make sure it's still dialed in. But that is a sweet shooting rifle, really low recoil. Not the violent recoil that we have with our 300 Win mags and our short mags and stuff. Just a really nice, sweet shooting gun. And a lot of the new rifles, the PRCs and, the 6.8 Western, they let the bullet do all the work and let the rifling do all the work. Where you're not just violently hucking this thing down range. And hey, those 300s work great. I've killed a lot of critters with that stuff.
They do.
But these new rifles, they've just simmered things down a little bit, engineered the bullets up a little bit more, spin them up, like a 1 and 7.5, a 1 and 8 twist, and let the bullet do the work and not kick your rear end in the process at the range, you know. So super sweet, man. Looking forward to using that thing.
Just a quick reminder and a question from the 206. When is Salmon for Soldiers this year? That's August 21st out of the Port of Everett. And my hat goes off. My heart goes out to the folks at the Port of Everett. They, you know, I mean, they open up their entire facility to this wonderful event to register. And we need captains, not the qualified captain. We need captains.
Yes.
So so jump on to salmonforsoldiers.com, and Randy and Penny will get you all hooked up there. Yeah, definitely a busy week around here. We're opening day today, opening day of Lincod next week. We'll be covering all that stuff for you. You missed any of the show, make sure you jump on mynorthwest.com. Download that 710 ESPN app. You can get full episodes, or the iTunes podcast app will cover us there too. Give us a follow on social media at Joey Pyburn, at Rob Ensley, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at The Outdoor Line. For Matt Nelson, our Seattle studios, Rob Ensley coming at us from just south of Port Protection, Joey Pyburn here in the studio. I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.